Turn with us to the book of Lamentations. Lamentations is found right after Jeremiah. That is the way it is in my Bible anyway. Please stand. We're going to start reading in the first chapter, the book of Lamentations, the very first verse. How doth the city sit solitarily that was full of people? How is she become as a widow, she that was great among the nations and princes among the provinces? How is she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted, and she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper. For the Lord hath afflicted her, for the multitude of her transgressions, her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes have become like harts that find no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembereth in the days of her affliction, and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. Jerusalem hath grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honored her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backwards. Her filthiness is in her skirts. She remembereth not her last end. Therefore she came down wonderfully. She had no comforter. O Lord, behold my affliction, for the enemy hath magnified himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you again today for the wonderful Bible, the Word of God. Thank you so much you've given it to us. And Lord, it's true and it's perfect and it's right and it's pure according to the Bible. Your Word says it is, and we believe it. So we thank you this morning for the privilege here of just preaching a message from your word. And I would ask you, God, to take the message and use it to the glory of God. Use it in each one of our hearts to do that which needs to be done. And Lord, we'll sure remember to thank you for what you do. If there's any unsaved here today, I pray for the salvation of that soul. Father, if we as Christians have a special need, Father, today I pray, God, that we'll allow you to meet that need. And Lord, you just have your will. And Lord, again, praying for those that are sick and afflicted today, ask you, God, to help them meet the need. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to have three of our Bible college students home from the North Country. And it's good that they've come to be with us. In fact, some of you may not know them. I know most of you do, but some of you maybe don't recognize them. Will our college students stand, please? Our Bible college students, please stand. Yeah, stand, Paul, no matter what. I don't know it's hard for you, but you do it. Thank you so much. These are three fine young men, and we appreciate them very much. They're in Bible college preparing to serve the Lord, and we're grateful that they've got to come home and be with us this weekend. All right, Book of Lamentations. I'll just give you a simple outline of the Book of Lamentations, the five chapters in this book. The first one kind of shows the affliction and all of the troubles that Jerusalem is going through. And he kind of pictures that, Jeremiah kind of pictures that here and presents to us all the miseries and troubles that they are facing. Then we find in chapter 2, we find the destruction of Jerusalem. And that's presented to us, and he talks about the horrible destruction of Jerusalem during the captivity. And then we find also in chapter 3, we see the suffering of Jeremiah himself, the prophet, who is weeping and lamenting over this destruction and the horrible condition of Judah. And we find him crying out. In fact, I believe he would be a type of Jesus Christ who also cried over Jerusalem and the condition of Jerusalem. And then we find also, we find this terrible destruction that has come. In chapter 4, we find him kind of looking at the destruction and also looking at the splendor that she used to have, what she used to be. And then, of course, in chapter 5, we see an appeal to God Almighty for mercy. He begins to appeal for mercy, for God to do something for Jerusalem, for Judah there. So what we're going to do today, I have simply entitled this message, Jeremiah Weeps Over Jerusalem. You've all recognized Jeremiah as the weeping prophet. You've heard him called that, and he certainly was. And we see him weeping over Jerusalem. What I'm going to do is kind of show you some things, why he came to the place where he had to weep over Jerusalem. Now, first of all, I think there's some things that we might share with you that are just normal in nature and in God's Word. There's just principles taught there. Can anybody tell me at what degree Fahrenheit water freezes? 32 degrees. Well, that's good. And that is just a principle that God has placed in nature, if you want to call it nature. God's placed it there. What does it boil at? 212. That's just the way it is. That just happens. When it gets to 212, it begins to boil. If many of our people in this congregation today would take their songbooks and get real happy and take their songbooks and throw them up in the air, let me tell you what would happen. There would be some ducking. There would be some trying to catch. There would be all kinds of things go on simply because of a rule. What goes up, going to come down. Amen? I mean gravity. That's just a part of it. You're not going to stop it unless something intervenes. It goes up, it's going to come down. That's just a principle that is in nature. You go out here, and Brother Gordon here, he's getting ready for springtime to sow, and he knows that if he plants corn, he's going to get corn. He plants beans, he's going to get beans. Those are just simple principles that are in nature, if you want to call nature what God has placed here, this old planet. He's just put some rules down that's the way it's going to be. Well, he's also done that in his word about spiritual things. And he told us that lust bringeth forth sin. Now, that's not a maybe. He says lust will bring forth sin. Lust pursued will bring forth sin. And then sin bringeth forth death. Now, that's a principle. You can't get around that principle. Impossible. You see, the Bible teaches us that a person is born into sin. We all know that, born into sin. And we know that if you face God in sin, then there's no way you can go to heaven. It's an impossibility. We know hell awaits for those who live in their sin and do not get their sin forgiven, that hell awaits them. That's just the way it is. That's what the Bible says, and that's the way it'll be. Something has to intercede there to get that change. We also know that we're appointed once to die. Then cometh the judgment. You know why we know that? Because the Bible says that. There ain't one of us that's going to get by dying unless the rapture comes. The rapture comes, Jesus changes us. Amen. But you and I, if we live on, there's no one's ever got by without dying. That's just the way it is. It's just a principle of life, a principle that God has placed. Not another principle is that we reap what we sow. Now, that's what the Bible says. You agree with that? Does that happen? Oh, yes. You say, well, I'll get by with that. No, none of us will. Reap what we sow. And thank God that's good. If we're sowing the good, we reap the good. Amen? But if we sow the bad, we're going to reap the bad. I'm just simply saying that's a principle that God has placed in his word. The Bible also, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. A nation will be blessed if God is the Lord of that nation. That's why you hear preachers preach. That's why we constantly hammer that out. We want to see our nation a godly nation. We want to see it doing right, going right, and being led right, because this nation can be blessed if God is our Lord, you see. We find also in Proverbs, the 14th chapter, that righteousness exalteth a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. We know that that's true. Righteousness is something that exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach, you see, to any people. The Bible says also the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That's just truth of God's word. In other words, there's just truths in God's word. There's truths even in this planet and around us. There's certain things that just happen because that's the way God has established them. And that's also true here in the word of God. Whatever God says, it's going to happen. We can't get around these things unless there's someone who can intercede. We can get it. We won't have to go to hell if we accept Jesus. Now, we're all headed for hell unless we accept Jesus, but he comes along, dies for us, and if we'll accept him as our personal Savior, then we don't have to go to hell or want to remain. He has interceded there and changed that matter so that we could, and he didn't really change it to the fact that there wasn't a death paid for sin, because there was. He paid it, though, for us. And we don't have to pay for our own sins if we'll put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. So what happened is, in the book of Lamentations, we're going to find some things. Why Jeremiah was weeping. What happened to Judah that caused Jeremiah to weep so terribly? Now, my poor Sunday school class, bless them, I don't mean they're poor, but I mean they're poor because the last two Sundays they heard me talk about rebellion. We've had a study on rebellion for 2 weeks. Now they're going to get a little more, and they're probably saying, Brother Ross, you must think we're awful. No, it's the other crew that just come on in that needs this on rebellion. So this is the not so mature ones, you know, that come in, and they need this on rebellion. So we're going to again cover some things on rebellion. But if you will look back in Israel, Judah's life here, you'll find out the reason they was facing such tragedies was because of rebellion against God. Now that's just a simple fact. They turned against God, they rebelled against God, and because of that, they were suffering some terrible things. I'm just going to give you a simple definition of rebellion. Certainly it needs more than this, but this will just kind of help us. It's basically a defiance or opposition against any control. Now that'll just give you a good illustration of it or definition of it. It's just absolutely opposition to, defiance against any control. Now, whether that is a child who does that to their parents, they defy and oppose the control of their parents over their life. Well, that's we call that rebellion. That's rebellion. It's the same thing if we as a as a child of God, we don't want God's control over our life. That's rebellion. We're opposing, we're defying the authority that God has in our life when we rebel against him, when we say no to him. That's what it is. It's rebellion against God Almighty, you see. And a person who's unsaved is basically rebelling against God because they're saying, God, we don't want your Savior. We don't want your salvation. We don't want your internal life. We want to do it different. We want to do it our way. It's a rebellion against God Almighty. Now the Bible says in Proverbs that an evil man seeketh only to rebel. An evil man seeketh only to rebel. You see, that's evilness, you see. And they seek out rebellion in their life. In 1 Samuel, this is a familiar one, and I'm sure you're familiar with it, but it says, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. God says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Amen? So God just made a statement. It's true, and you know, if we're rebelling against God, it's just like we're practicing witchcraft. That's what God is saying. Over in Deuteronomy, the 9th chapter, he says, ye have been rebellious against the Lord from the day that I knew you. Now he was talking about Israel there, and he said they had been rebellious against God Almighty from the day that he knew them. They had been rebellious against him. Over in Romans, the 1st chapter, it says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. There was a time when people knew God, they knew him, they knew who he was, but they wouldn't glorify him as God. And they rebelled against God Almighty. We find in that same chapter, he says, as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. They did not want to think about God. They did not want to let their mind think about God Almighty. So it basically all started here in the book of Lamentations when Jeremiah is writing this. It started because of their rebellion. They rebelled against God Almighty. They opposed his control over their life. Then he says some other things about them because of their rebellion. Here's what he says about them. He talks about wickedness in their life. Look at Lamentations 1, chapter 1, verse 8. Jerusalem has grievously sinned, therefore she is removed. All that honoreth her despise her, because they have seen her nakedness. Yea, she sigheth and turneth backward. And here he's talking about the grievous sins of Jerusalem, the wickedness of Jerusalem. In fact, over in verse number 22 of this same chapter, he says, let all of their wickedness come before thee, and do unto them as thou hast done unto me, for all my transgressions, for my sighs are many, and my heart is faint. And again, he talks about the wickedness that was happening there in Judah, and the reason goes back because of their rebellion against God, not wanting any control over, not wanting God to have any control over them. They begin to commit wicked deeds. And the word wickedness there speaks of evil, sinful, immoral, depraved. Israel, Judah here, was doing terrible wicked things, to the fact that God called it wickedness and cried out against them and said he was going to have to do something about it, which he was going to do something about it because of their wickedness. Now there's wicked, deplorable things going on in America today. And basically the reason those wicked things are going on in America today is because of rebellion against God. See, they've rebelled against God Almighty, and because of that, we are continuing to see the great wickedness of sins in our nation begin to just multiply. I don't know. I think you do too. I can't even understand in America why we would even allow some of them things that's on TV today to even be there. But you know what? It's become commonplace. Just comment. You know why? Because the wickedness of America, because of her rebellion against God Almighty, the wickedness of America just is getting worse and worse and worse and worse. Let me encourage you something, parents. I can't come into your homes and control your homes. I don't want to control your homes. But let me encourage you something. Do not let your children, do not yourself watch those wicked shows. Take that knob, that remote control, whatever you got, want to make a difference, and turn it off. Just turn it off. And it might even be better if you just kicked it out of your door. I don't know. Might be the best thing. Might be probably the very best thing. You got children, you're going to have to watch that thing. This horrible wickedness goes on those things, you see. I'm just simply saying that. And it's becoming worse and worse. Well, that's what happened to Israel. Wickedness was one of the things he said after he showed them that they was rebelled against God Almighty. Wickedness is one of the things that began to increase. We could name all kinds of sin. I don't feel any need to do so, but you could name all kinds of wicked sins that's going on in America. You know what they are. They're wicked. Horrible wickedness that's going on in America, you see, and it's because of rebellion against God Almighty. The next thing he talks about is transgression, and of course this leads right along with what we've been talking about. But if you'll notice in Lamentations chapter 1, verse 5, said, her adversaries are the chief, her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. You look over in chapter 3, verse 42, he says, we have transgressed and have rebelled. Thou hast not pardoned. That's in chapter 3, verse number 42, but he talks about transgressions. You see, sin is the transgression of the law of God. And basically what he's saying here is they've decided to break God's law. God has the word of God, the law of God, and man has decided to break it. That's what Judah did here. They decided to go against the Bible, the word of God. In fact, in Romans, if you remember the first chapter of Romans, it talked about who changed the truth of God into a lie. And that's what's going on in America today. We're taking God's word and we're letting it or making it say what we want it to say, if we pay any attention to it whatsoever. But the word of God is very plain. He doesn't need any help in writing his word. He doesn't need any help in interpreting it. The Holy Spirit's the one who interprets it. He don't need you and I's help interpreting the Word of God. He knows what He said, and He wrote what He meant to say. And if we'll just take God's Word and just do with it exactly what we should do with it, we won't be transgressing the law of God. But let me say to you, there's a spirit of rebellion and transgression of God's law that's growing all over America. It's spread throughout the churches of America. There's that thought that I'll do what I want to do. And preacher, you say what you want to say. It doesn't make any difference to me what you say. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. You're not going to pay attention to the Bible, the Word of God. You're going to do it your way. That's transgressions of the law. That's result of rebellion in a heart against God Almighty. You see, there's government officials that today, and I remember some in the past, I remember Betty Ford was one of them. She literally came out with a statement that she did not take God's Word literally. Well, do you know most, I'm afraid, of our leadership in America today do not take the Word of God literally. I know Mr. Clinton doesn't. I'm simply saying to you, the Word of God is supreme. It's true. And transgression of that, if you don't be careful, the reason of we're transgressing it is because there's a rebellious spirit in our heart against God Almighty, you see. So also then, what does it bring on? Because all of these things begin to multiply. When there's rebellion in a nation, when there's rebellion in a heart, it begins to multiply. If you'll look in Lamentations, the second chapter, verse number 14, you see, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity to turn away thy captivity, but have seen for thee false burdens and causes of banishment. In other words, here he goes back to the prophets. And in fact, let's go over and read chapter 4, verse number 13. It goes along with that. For the sin of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests that have shed the blood of the just in the midst of her. He goes back and he blames the priests and the prophets of God, the ones that he has put there to preach the Word of God to them, bring the prophecies of God's Word to them. If you'll notice what he says in verse 14 of chapter 2, he says, thy prophets have seen vain and foolish things for thee, and they have not discovered thine iniquity. You know what he means when he says they have not discovered thy iniquity? He not pointed out the iniquity of the people. They've not preached against sin. And that's one of the great problems in America today, is getting preachers to preach against sin. To just call it out and preach it and say it's sin. Did you realize that adultery is sin? Do you realize that drinking and getting drunk is sin? Amen. Do you realize abortion is sin? You realize that? Amen. You realize that sodomy is sin? You realize that gossip is sin? Oh, okay. Do you realize that? Do you realize those things are sin? You see, we need to just call out. There's multitudes of sins. We need to call out and name it and say it's sin. It's wrong. Preachers have ceased to do that. I didn't say all preachers. I said many preachers across America have ceased to point out the iniquity of the people. So they won't cry aloud and cry out about sin. They won't do it. They refuse to do it. They're afraid of the faces. They're afraid they're going to lose some people. They're afraid of this going to happen, that happen. You know, that's the most foolish thing in all the world. God is able. You serve Him if you lose everybody. But you know what the great thing is? There's a lot of folk who want to hear it. They want to hear sin preached about. They want to hear that. They'll say amen to it. They'll say hallelujah about it because they want to see it. They want it to happen in their congregation because it's right and proper, you see, for that to happen. So I say to you folks, be glad when sin is preached against. Amen. And if sin is preached against and it hits you, then do something about it. There's an old-fashioned altar up here. That's what it's all about. It's okay. God will forgive you. We'll forgive you. Mainly God will forgive you. That's what's really important. But we'll forgive you too. Amen. I'm just saying that's what the altar is for. Get along with God and ask God for forgiveness, you see. A wrong kind of attitude, a bitter attitude, is a sin. Amen. Oh, yes. It's a sin. It's wrong. It needs to be dealt with at an altar of God. It needs to be taken care of, you see. I'm just simply saying there's so many things that are sins that need to be dealt with. You know what they was doing? They was preaching unto them smooth things. Nice things. They wouldn't point out the iniquity, you see. Well, let me say to you, when we get into rebellion against God, we get a nation in that condition, we begin to do wicked things and transgress the law of God, it isn't long you've got that kind of preacher standing around preaching from your pulpits. And we need so much to have just good old-fashioned preachers. It makes a difference whether they know everything in the world, but they need to just preach the Bible, the Word of God. They just need to do that and just cry out. They just need to cry out against sin. Just need to keep doing that in every church in America. That's what it needs. Just cry out. You see, I've said before, and I mean this with all of my heart, we don't need a bunch of smooth sermons now. We need some sermons that'll just scald us alive. There's times when we need some encouragement. We need some encouragement. Yes, we do. But many of your churches today do not need encouragement. They need to repent. Many of God's people just don't need to be encouraged in their sin. They need to repent of their sin. Amen? So I'm just simply saying to you folks, that's what happens, and that's what happened with Judah here when she rebelled against God. She began to commit wickedness. She began to transgress the law of God. She began to get preachers and prophets and priests here that would not preach what they were supposed to preach. And then what next happened, you'll notice in verse number 10 of chapter 1, he speaks also about this. The adversary has spread out her hand upon all her pleasant things. For she has seen that the heathen entered into the sanctuary, whom thou didst command that they should not enter into the congregation. Now back there, they were not to enter in. The heathen, those who were not Jews, was not to enter into the congregation, into the sanctuary. They had a place for them, but they was not to enter in. It was not allowed. You and I know today that we want people who are not saved, to come into the congregation and hear the Word of God. But we don't want them running the church. We don't want them making the decisions. Oh, I welcome any person to come into the house of God and listen to the Bible, the Word of God, and listen how to be saved. That's a wonderful, marvelous thing. But what we've got to be sure is that we have not taken the things of the world out there and brought them in and practiced them in here. That's why you've got to be so careful about bringing things into the church. Wrong kind of music into the church. Wrong kind of actions into the church. Wrong kind of activities in the church is wrong. And we as a people need to be sure that it stays out to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. But let me say to you, it'll creep in, you see, when there's rebellion. It'll creep in if you don't be careful, because that comes right along with it. After the false preachers has preached, then comes along the idol worshipers, and they bring the wrong kind of things in. It isn't long. We're doing exactly what the world does, you see. Then also we have something else over in Lamentations 4:17. He says, "And thou hast removed my soul." Oh, excuse me, I'm on chapter 3. Verse number 17, chapter 4. He says, "As for us, our eyes as yet fail for our vain help. In our watching, we have watched for a nation that could not save us." Here you find false hope. What happens after all of these other things, and you see this rebellion begin to enter in into this nation and certainly into the lives of people, it isn't long they begin to rise up looking for a nation that will save them instead of God Almighty. You find a false hope. America has many false hopes, looking for hope outside of God Almighty today. I'm all for military. I'm glad. But there was a day when our military, we depended on our military, but we depended on God to guide our military. And thank God for our military. But now today we've joined it in with the United Nations. And so the United Nations is what's important nowadays. Other countries and other nations is going to support and help us and defend us. That's wrong. And we've got to understand that's what Israel done. That's what Judah done. They began to have hope that some nation was going to protect them instead of God Almighty. Listen, in government, God always starts. He always begins with a man. There's always a president or somebody who is the head of that nation. You look at the nations of the world, you'll always find somebody is the head of that nation. And so it's very, very important who is the head of that nation. It's very, very important. You see, what happens is we begin to, as a nation, begin to depend on our security, our defense, not from God Almighty, but from our own strength or the strength of other nations. And that's wrong. And that's exactly what Judah began to do. Not only that, they began to, and let me say this, in our nation, we ought to use right kind of principles when it comes to finances. But we don't. We wonder why in the world our nation, our people are out there in debt, completely in debt. I mean, billions of dollars in credit card debt. We wonder why that happens when our nation does that. We ought to pay our bills as we go along. But now, you know what? We're dependent upon finances, and now we're dependent upon international finances. It's no longer just America. It's international finances now. We're dependent on Japan and all the European nations over there and all of these things. If their stock market goes down, I mean ours begin to go down. We're all so dependent on each other. God does not want that. God did not want Israel, did not want Judah dependent on other nations. But that's how she become. I don't believe government needs to take care of our families. I believe God wants us to do that. Amen. But so what happens is we become dependent upon a nation, upon a government, instead of dependent upon God Almighty. Now, what happens then, Brother Ross? Well, that same thing happens in the church. We begin to, instead of depending upon tithes and offerings from God's people, we begin to depend on outside provisions. Now, we don't hear, but let me tell you, churches all across this land, instead of depending on God Almighty for their finances, they depended on the community around them, lost community around them, many times going up and knocking on doors and saying, would you give an offering to this church? Would you help us build on down there? Folks, we don't need the lost to help us build on. We need to say God Almighty will do it for us. And we need to leave it there and believe that and trust and get our trust back where it was supposed to be instead of out here in the world. The world's not supposed to build our buildings for us. The world's not supposed to provide for this church. No, no, no. We as God's people are supposed to provide, you see, and trusting in God to do that, you see. So again, I'm simply saying they began to trust in the nations around them instead of God Almighty. That's what's going on today. Our homes today. Many of our homes are not run on trust in God, but trust in the bank. The bank folds, we fold. Just think about it. If God folds, we fold. He can't fold. You got your trust in God, you don't have to worry about it. You've got it the right place. And that's why I say to you and I, in our homes today, let's get our trust back where they belong. They belong on God Almighty, not the neighborhood bank or some other place. I'm simply saying to you, we got to get our trust back on God Almighty and quit looking for hopes outside of God. So they had false hopes. Not only that, you'll notice another thing that happened to them was found in verse number 16 of chapter 4. It says, "And the anger of the Lord hath divided them. He will no more regard them. They respected not the persons of the priests. They favored not the elders." You know what? They lost disrespect. They began to disrespect authority. And if you'll notice right here in this portion of Scripture, that's what he said. They had no thoughts for the elders and the priests. They didn't care for them. It didn't matter to them what they did. They had no respect for them. We're there in America today. Never before, years and years before, I can still remember back at home when a preacher would come. I'm going to tell you right now, it was just a different place around there. You made sure you didn't do anything to disrespect him. You know what you get nowadays? I have people go to their refrigerators and get a can of beer and open it up in front of my face. Oh, I certainly do. I get them, I see them just immediately sit right there and light up their cigarettes and blow their smoke my way. And no respect in America today, much anyway, for God's men. Now, I realize many of God's men has caused that. I understand all that. But you lose the respect for authority. You want to hear people talk about the authority that's over their life? Listen for a little while. Listen to the workers talk about their bosses. Amen. Listen to the church members talk about their preacher. I'm just simply saying to you, that goes along with rebellion in the heart, and it begins to develop all of these things in a nation and in an individual's life. Now, when all of this has taken place, and all of these things that we've talked about has taken place, what happened to this nation because of it? We've just named these things. We're looking at things that possibly, you know, right now it's going on, and we say, well, there's nothing happened because of it. But there will be. Now, listen to what happened to Israel. I want to show you some things. Lamentation, the first chapter, verse number 6 and 7. And from the daughter of Zion, all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like harts that hath no pasture, and they are gone without strength before the pursuer. Jerusalem remembered in the days of her affliction and of her miseries all her pleasant things that she had in the days of old, when her people fell into the hand of the enemy, and none did help her. The adversary saw her and did mock at her Sabbaths. What you'll begin to see, and you saw it in the life of Judah here, you find out that she had failure in war. You see, we think this power that we have, all of these great weapons we have, is going to protect us. Not if God doesn't protect us. And you'll begin to see failure in wars. I want to say something to this on a spiritual aspect for a Christian. When you get rebellion in your heart toward God Almighty and these things begin to develop in your life, you're going to see failure in your warfare with old Satan, the devil. You're not going to win the battles. Another thing in Lamentations 3, chapter 3, verse 8. He says, and also I cry and shout. He shutteth out my prayer. Look it over at chapter 3, verses 43 and 44. Thou hast covered with anger and persecuted us. Thou hast slain, thou hast not pitied. Thou hast covered thyself with a cloud, and our prayers should not pass through. Another thing that happens when all of this rebellion develops is prayers are not heard. God doesn't answer prayer. Now I think, I'm like you, I feel like you would want that same thing. Boy, when trouble comes, I want prayer answered. Don't you? I mean, I want to be able to go to God and know He hears me. He may not always answer it like I want Him to answer it, but He'll answer. He'll do what is right and proper. You know, these people, when they got to this place of rebellion, their prayers ceased to be heard. Covered like a cloud, he said there in verse 44. Covered like a cloud. Prayers are not heard. See, this is what it, failure in war. Prayers are not heard. And then in chapter 2 of Lamentations, verse number 9, says, her gates are sunk into the ground. He hath destroyed and broken her bars. Her king and her princes are among the Gentiles. The law is no more. Her prophets also find no vision from the Lord. The elders of the daughter of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silent. They have cast up dust upon their heads. They have girded themselves with sackcloth, and the virgins of Jerusalem hang down their heads to the ground. Also, what happens and develops when these things become evident in a nation or a person's life is there's no leading. There's no vision from God. No leading for the for your life. Now, folks, you and I know, you and I need God's guidance every day of our life. If we don't have it, we're going to mess up really good. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. It's been one of my most wonderful verses of Scripture that I claimed many, many years ago. I've asked God to guide me and teach me in the way I should go and guide me with His eye. I ask for that. I want that. I need His leading. Well, when rebellion comes into the heart, you'll find out you're not going to get God's leading in your life. Not only that, look at Lamentations, the 4th chapter, verse number 5. They that did feed delicately are desolate in the streets. They that were brought up in scarlet embrace dunghills. Boy, listen to this. I mean, they embrace scarlet. They dressed in scarlet all at once. They're in dunghills. Look at verse number 9. It says, and they that be slain with the sword are better than they that be slain with hunger, for they pine away, stricken through for want of the fruit of the field. The hands of the pitiful woman have sodden their own children. They were their meat in the destruction of the daughter of my people. Look at verse number 14. And he says, they have wandered as blind men in the streets. They have polluted themselves with blood so that men could not touch their garments. You see, what happens is they have failure in war. Their prayers are not heard. They have no leading from God. And then next come humiliation. I know a family that years ago used to go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, a fine young family that at that time I feel like they loved the Lord and was walking with God, doing their best, and they got away from church, got away from the things of the Lord, and it wasn't, I just went over a period of time. Very soon they got a divorce. I read in the paper the other day that their son was picked up for drug charges. Him and his wife were picked up for drug charges. Going to have to go to court. You know where it began? When a long time ago they backslid, got away from God. That's where it began. Now their son is going to pay the cost of it. Because they decided to get away from God. They decided to go their own way. I could tell you story after story after story of that. Oh, right then, they're real smart aleckly. Yeah, it's all right. We're going to do it our way. I wondered if we'd go to them now, how smart aleckly they would be. I'm just saying to you folks, listen to me, God brings us to humiliation. Would you want your son's name in the paper where everybody could read it, that he's been picked up on drug charges? God has his way of humiliating. And it all starts with a heart that's rebellious, that will not turn to the Lord and do right according to the Word of God. Well, here's what God says we can do. You say, oh, Brother Ross, I've rebelled against God. I'm not doing right. Is there any hope for me? Oh, thank God there is. Yes, there is. With God, there's always hope. Amen. Don't ever discourage and think God forgot you and doesn't love you and doesn't want you. That is never, ever true. Never, ever true. God is always willing to reach down and do something. And let me say to you, God will do something for that dear family that's having them problems right now. God will do something. If they'll reach out, they'll reach out their hand to him and ask him. He'll do something for them. Because he loves them. You understand that? Well, let me show you in chapter Lamentations 3, verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassion faileth not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion with my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. Look at chapter 3, verse 31. He says, for the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. You see, God is disciplining us when we rebel against him. He's not doing that discipline to hurt us. You and I may think so sometimes by the things that happen, but he's doing it because he loves us. Because of his great compassion that he has for us. It'll never fail. And look what he asks us to do. If you'll notice in verse number 40, in verse 41, let us search and try our ways and turn again to the Lord. Let us lift up our heart with our hands unto God in the heaven. What does God say? I told our Sunday school this morning when we talked about rebellion. You know what God expects from a rebellious heart? Repentance. Just repentance. turning back to God again, lifting up our hearts, our hands unto the Lord, and asking God's forgiveness. Now, folks, rebellion against God will bring these things that I've talked about today upon your life. Please don't rebel against God. If you're in a state of rebelling against God Almighty, just get it right. Cry out to God and repent of it, and God is so wonderful. He loves you, cares about His compassion, never, ever faileth. Amen? We're not trying to tell you God's against you. I'm trying to tell you God's for you. But He's looking for repentance from those who have rebelled against Him. Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Say to you this morning, if you're here without Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, to some degree you may not understand it, but there's rebellion in your heart against God Almighty. You're unwilling to trust Christ and be saved. You can rectify that this morning by coming, putting your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, receiving Him as your own personal Savior, and being born into God's family. You may be here this morning as a child of God, and you may say, you know, I've been in a state of rebellion against God. I've not wanted. I've defied and opposed His authority in my life. And as we talked about rebellion, that's what it is. And I've been that way, but I don't want to be that way anymore. I want to do something about it. I want God to forgive me, and I want to repent and turn to Him. Whatever the need of your heart is this morning, remember this. We have a God whose compassion faileth not. He loves you, cares for you. He'll meet your need if you let Him.